17th meeting of the Planning Commission. This meeting will be conducted remotely, where all the members of the Planning Commission are in separate locations and not at City Hall. Before we start the meeting, I would like to go over some housekeeping items. Tonight's meeting is being recorded. Those tuning in will notice that all participants, with the exception of the commission and some city staff members, are muted to the and video will be disabled. With this said, we will allow participants an opportunity to speak during public comment periods. If you wish to speak during a public comment, there is a toolbar either at the top or bottom of your screen that will appear when you hover with your cursor. Click on the word participants and a box will open up your screen showing a list of participants. And at the bottom of the box, you can click raise hand. This will be seen by the meeting facilitator and you will be unmuted at the appropriate time to ask your question or give input. During that time you are unmuted, please make sure that you don't have any background noise such as TV, radio, etc. Even shuffling of papers can be picked up and cause disruptive audio feedback through the microphones. All of our standard procedures will be adhered to, such as stating your name and address when called on. Comments will be kept to 5 minutes or less. Vulgarity and inappropriate language will not be tolerated and will result in the immediately muted and possibly removed from the meeting. If you are unsure how to virtually raise your hand to participate in the discussion, call 231-582-0337 at any time during the meeting and an assistant will be happy to help you with the process. I would like to thank everyone in advance for your patience and cooperation as we work through tonight's meeting agenda. Let's call this meeting to order and start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag,
United States of America,
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Pat.
Shute.
Here.
McNaughton.
Here.
Mobo.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Newton.
Here.
Place.
Here.
And Jeff Ross. We did get an email from Jeff that said he was headed to a last service call and was going to try and get into an area, but wasn't sure when or if he was going to be able to join us. So he did make contact.
I have an iPhone on the call here, and I'm not sure who that is. I don't know if that's Jeff or not. Now, Patrick, are you able to determine who that is?
No, I can't. Do you have the ability to make me a co-host, Scott?
Do what?
Make me a co-host with the...
Yeah.
Okay, great.
How do I do that?
The three dots in the corner of my window, there should be a co-host option.
Okay.
Very good. Okay.
All right, good. All right, let's move on to consent agenda. I need a motion to
excuse Jeff.
I'll make a motion to excuse Jeff with his absence.
Second that.
I got a motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Newton?
Yes.
Place?
Yes.
Shute?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Okay. To move on to approval of the minutes from July 20th, 2020.
Quick interjection on that.
Sure.
Reviewing those minutes, there's a small edit that I wanted to add before we made a motion to approve those.
Absolutely.
Page 4, the introductory part of the discussion, for my section under the Newton part, the second to last sentence is something that I didn't say. There's no such thing as a cascade loan. So I just wanted to make a notice of that to be either edited or that I think in entire sentence could be removed and still make accurate discussion.
So what is the rate for the loan?
Yeah, I know what the rates are. There's no such thing as a Cascade loan, so I don't know what that is.
May I interject, Chairman?
Sure.
I did go back and listen to the audio and the video that you had asked me to after the email this morning. And you did, in fact, say other financing options proposed here as Cascade loans, and then you did ask what the current rate was for a Cascade loan. So that is on the audio portion of the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I listened to it also, Rose, and it is pretty clear that's what's said.
Okay.
You're referring to something different and just said that word.
Okay, perhaps. All right, thank you for the clarification.
Were there any other comments on the minutes?
I move for approval of the meeting minutes.
I have a motion of approval of minutes.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Shoot.
I'm sorry?
Shoot.
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Abstain.
Place?
Yes. Okay. Move on to citizens present on non-agenda items. Is there any? Scott,
I'm showing none.
Okay, you're showing none. Okay. Move on to officer reports for officers, boards, and standing committees.
Nothing right now. No.
Okay. Unfinished business. There is none. Let's move on to new business then. Scott?
Yes, we have a couple of different recommendations that are being brought to you. First, there's reappointment recommendations for the seats of Commissioner Ross and Commissioner Shute. Those expired in May 31st. And as with our normal policy, city commission members are offered the opportunity to be reappointed and immediately considered for that recommendation, and it's brought to you. And I spoke to Larry, and he indicated that he did want to continue. Jeff, I have not been able to get a hold of, but I'm assuming he does.
Okay.
I think it'd be appropriate to consider that recommendation as well. So those are the first two. And then we have two applications, and we currently have two vacant seats. Those are for Monica Ross and Jim Bowman. And so you can consider those recommendations as well.
Okay.
So you probably want to consider each individually as you move forward.
All right. So, you were not able to get a hold of Jeff Ross.
Right.
So, we can still make a recommendation, or do we need his...
No, you still can make a recommendation. It's under the assumption that he wants to continue.
Okay.
And if he doesn't want to continue, then you just not continue.
Okay. All right. Well, let's start with Larry Shute.
Yes.
His position.
I would like to re-up this year. I enjoy the Planning Commission. I enjoy being a part of the city. Yes, I have occasionally brought up some controversial things, but I think it's you know, I've got no business agenda. I've got with design and the great neighborhoods.
Okay.
So.
trying to get back in.
Okay.
Can we make...
Here we go.
Scott, are we allowed to make these recommendations as one, or you said one at a time?
I think she's back, so you just wait a second for her to get online.
I understand. Yes, Tom?
Just a clarification under the process in our notes. It says that in accordance with the... Let's see, where am I reading this? The ordinance stipulates that the planning commissioners are appointed by the mayor, such majority vote of the city commissions. Yeah, I just want to clarify that's not just me. It's a motion, and all city commissioners vote on that. So, according to the bylaws, it sounds like I have sole power, but it really doesn't. So. Just wanted to clarify that.
Thanks, Tom. I never really saw it that way. So.
I think, Pat, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome, Pat. Roll call, Pat. Did you get the motion in the second?
I did not. That's how I knew that my mic was not working.
I understand.
So if we could repeat the motion, please.
Please. Rose?
Okay. Made the motion to recommend Schutte back into another position or term in the City of Boyne City Planning Commission.
Okay, and a second?
It was from me.
Okay.
Cool. Roll call, Pat.
All right. Moblo.
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Place?
Yes.
Schutte?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Motion carries.
All right, let's move on to the appointment for Ross.
I guess he can't speak for himself on that regard, so I guess...
No.
I will just make a motion for him, assuming he would like to re-up.
I'll
make a motion to recommend him to the City of Boyne City Planning Commission for another term, should he so choose.
Yep. I've got a motion.
Second.
A motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Place.
Yes.
Schutte?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay. Let's talk to, let's move on to the recommendation for Monica Ross. Monica, are you in on the call?
I am.
All right. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Okay. Well, I've been a Boyne City resident for 15 years. Prior to moving here, I was on the Aurelius Township Planning Commission in Ingham County for 7 years. While I was on that committee, or on that planning commission, we rewrote all the zoning rules for the township with the help of an attorney. I am a retired realtor. I'm a graduate of Michigan Association of Realtors Land Use Institute. And I'm just interested in volunteering.
Thank you, Monica. Does anyone have any questions for Monica?
I have a question. Is there any relation between you and Jeff?
No.
I just didn't know if that would bring conflict of interest.
No, I have no relatives in this area.
Wonderful, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Monica?
What were the major towns in Aurelius Township?
There are no towns in Aurelius Township. It's a rural township in Ingham County, about 8 miles south of MSU. We have Mason is the closest town.
Okay.
Mason has about 6,000 residents. Aurelius Township had about 3,000 to 3,500 residents. But we have no major cities in that township or villages. It was very rural.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Slightly different issues, but I'm sure the process is the same.
Oh, believe me, there were lots of issues. My first night on the Planning Commission, Scott Chappelle, who developed Bear Creek Apartments up in Petoskey, wanted to, in our rural township, wanted to put in a 400-pad mobile home park. Needless to say, there were approximately 500 people at that meeting, all speaking against it. So there's all kinds of issues that go on.
Yep. And anyone else have any questions for Monica?
What brought you to Boyne, Monica?
Oh, I've been coming to Boyne since the early 80s. Started out as a camper, bought the lot where our house lives in probably 1990. 99, we bought a small house up here. And in 2008, we started building our house, our retirement home here on the lot we bought back in 1990.
Very cool.
We just love it here.
Mm-hmm. As do we all.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Would anyone like to make a recommendation for Monica to the City Commission?
To the Planning Commission.
Well, we have recommendation to the City Commission.
Okay.
For the Planning Commission. Yes.
I'll make a to recommend Monica Ross to the City Commission on behalf of having a position on the Boyne City Planning Commission. If that's the right way to say it.
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second that.
I'll second. Okay.
Motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Yes.
Needhammer?
Yes.
Newton?
Yes.
Place?
Yes.
Shoot?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Monica, for your time.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Haven't seen you in a while, and it'll be good to see you a little more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to spending time on the commission.
Good. Thank you. All right. Can we have a chance to talk with Jim Bauman? Is he in the meeting?
Yes. Hello. Good afternoon, everybody.
Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. Hi, Jim.
If you could do an introduction to the board, that would be great.
Sure. Well, I was the executive director of the Boyne Area Chamber from 2008 through 2016. When I retired, I kept doing their newsletter until the pandemic hit, and then I've been not doing that for a couple of months. And while I was exec director of the chamber, I attended nearly every city commission meeting during that time because the chamber likes to keep track of what's going on in the city, and we testified and supported and opposed a few projects along the way. So I'm pretty familiar with how city government works. I love Boyne City. I lived here for about 7 years in the late 70s, early 80s, moved to San Diego for 25 years, and then came back here. As far as my involvement in the community, besides the chamber, I put on my application that I'm a past board member of the Little Traverse Conservancy, which has numerous nature preserves around in four counties. I was also on the board of directors of Leadership Charlevoix County.
Thank you, Jim. Does anyone have any questions for Jim?
I would support Jim very much. He has been a very big part of this community, as has Monica. I think we have, with these two applications, have really strengthened our position and filled two needed roles, and by two members of our community that are involved and committed and passionate and have put a lot of time into our town. So.
Yep, and they have a lot of past time worked on this. I definitely am very happy to see that Jim and Monica were both interested.
Couldn't have said it better, Tom.
Okay. Well, is there a motion?
Make a motion to recommend Jim Bauman for Planning Commission seat. Point City Planning Commission.
All right. I have a motion. Is there a second?
I can second.
Tom seconds. Roll call, Pat.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Newton?
Aye.
Place?
Yes.
Shoot?
Yes.
McNaughton?
Yes.
Moblo?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, thanks. All those recommendations will be submitted to the City Commission at their next available meeting and for their appointment or consideration for an appointment.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. Let's move on to new business B, the review of manufactured housing direct density requirements.
As requested at the last meeting, the commission wanted to look at these provisions as the change to the 10 units per acre seemed to cause more issues than it was really intended to when it was first implemented and adopted. So I thought we'd start out by looking at, you know, where we came from. And under the previous ordinance, they had a average square footage for lots in a manufactured housing development, and there was a formula that you could reduce those to, you know, to 4,400 square feet by dedicating more open space. The 5,500 square feet starting point seemed a little excessive to me, considering that the minimum lot size for a traditional residential district lot is 5,445 square feet. So these, you're actually making a manufactured home community larger than what we already have in our single family residential district, which seemed kind of counterintuitive given the nature of these types of developments. And then looking at the existing mobile home park or manufactured housing community development, those lot sizes probably average between 3,500 to 4,000 square feet for the majority of them. So it seemed, in looking at their proposed additions, this particular language would be very difficult for them to implement. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure that those plans could move forward without having issues with our ordinance. So, you know, the 4,400 square feet is about 10 units an acre, but I think where we start getting a little an issue is where we're looking at net acreage versus gross acreage, and it can be a larger amount than probably anticipated. So maybe some clarity there, saying the net acreage and for that density would be all right. And the other issue is, you know, there's already a number of parameters that these developers need to meet. Setbacks from each other, setbacks from property lines, setbacks from roads, sidewalks, all these things that are contained in our ordinance and also in the mobile home manufacturing guide of the rules that these communities need to abide by when they apply for their license in the state. And so a lot of those are mimicked in our ordinance, or some of them are a little more strict than our ordinance.
Sure.
So you have these two kind of things that dictate what that density could be. Now, given the concern about the language of 10 units per acre, you know, we can change that, but we can't change it in a way that would be more strict than the rules in the manufactured housing community guidelines. If you do that, those rules are invalid. So you basically can't do anything that's more strict or put more requirements on them than the state already does. You can relax, but you can't go more. So then with that, I thought I'd start the discussion to see, you know, which way you wanted to go on this, and you know, then we can start maybe developing, you know, a proposed amendment to address the issue.
Sure. Scott, what is currently right now at the manufactured housing park that we have now, what is the density at?
They were right around 6 to 7, I believe, with that new addition.
Okay,
that is on gross area or net area. And if you could define the differences there, that would be helpful.
Well, I just calculated the gross area and then divided it by the number of sites.
Okay. But there was a discussion that the 10 units per acre was on a net. And I remember the aerial photograph you used for it, and it appeared to be kind of a close-up and kind of a subset that within the interior and did not include any overall site setback. So it was somewhat deceiving that it was just the interior and not the entire development. So I guess my other point would be, I would like to get this to the point where it is almost directly equal to the state of Michigan requirements. As you've said, it's pretty darn close.
Well, the state of Michigan doesn't have a density requirement. There's nothing in the guidelines that identifies specific density. It's basically dictated by all the other parameters, the setbacks, the open space requirements, the requirements of stormwater and utilities and roads and those kinds of things. So the act doesn't state, you know, this many units per acre. So basically the sites are developed using those rules, and those are going to dictate what that density is, which from discussions with our previous applicant, you know, is about probably 6 units per acre.
So given that, Scott, I guess my kind of follow-up question is, and it sounds like in the same kind of line of thought that Larry is at, if the state doesn't have a designation for density, do we really need that if all of these other components and parameters serve as that by proxy? And could we just, yeah, you know, effectively, if we can't make it any more restrictive than what the state is, wouldn't it make sense to maybe just take their verbiage on, you know, those kind of other parameters and put that within our bylaws?
It already is. It's in the ordinance already. In the sections after this, our ordinance talks about setbacks and layout and setbacks from each other and those kind of yard requirements, which the state also does.
So if those are already in place,
yeah,
I guess my question more directly is do we need to designate this at all if we can't be more specific?
In my opinion, no.
Okay.
I think it would be fine to eliminate that B now, and it would be fine.
Either that or dial it down to the 6 per acre, so those of us who are not familiar with going through the minutiae of the setbacks and whatever, that's kind of a ballpark range.
Right, but if anything ever changes at the state level and our ordinance then makes it so that it doesn't work, Larry,
okay,
then it becomes void anyways.
All right.
So I like the idea of just striking it. If we were to pick a number and it change down the future and then it didn't work, then we would have to change the ordinance again.
Is there a challenge with the current Lakeview being in non-compliance with the state of Michigan, current state of Michigan requirements, or is it, has it been grandfathered?
They received their approvals, so they are in line with state guideline requirements.
Okay. I would be in favor of striking B as well.
Now, this isn't something we make a motion on. We're just reviewing.
No, this is just brought to you for discussion, and then at the next meeting, I can bring back an official amendment language that, if everyone agrees upon, we can go forward to the adoption process.
Okay, great.
I have a question.
Yeah,
if we were to do some sort of verbiage to say we're following the state guidelines, if the state were to, say, relax their protocols allowing more mobile homes per area, would we still want to have a density requirement, even if the state does relax their setbacks and whatnot?
Well, again, it comes to the point that you can't have rules stricter than theirs. So that would supersede our ordinance.
So much for local control.
Well, there's very specific lobbies for this type of land use, and they develop their own rules, and we have to abide by them.
Yeah, okay. Is there a reason why a minimum of 10 acres is in there as well?
I can only speculate. This was written before my time, but you know, a community like this, you probably don't want 4 or 5 acre communities. You want something large enough to support, you know, the investment in infrastructure and it's going to take to do it.
Okay, I mean, I certainly would not want just individual city lots, but
right. You know, you could have like a 2 acre. Manufactured housing development, which I don't think is the intent.
Correct.
I would agree that it's probably written to protect us to create a neighborhood, so that it takes at least 10 acres to create their own neighborhood. Anything less than that, it becomes, you know, one little small half a block or something with 6 homes on it.
Yeah, yes.
All right. So, are we in agreement as a board that we'd like to see some language on this?
Now, the
it just sounds like it's not in our hands. I mean, so, write anything else would be redundant.
Right. So I'm hearing to propose an amendment that eliminates B.
Yep.
Yep.
Or the other option. So.
Okay. Now the buffer zone that the proposed development last month had, 25 feet to residential areas, is that in the state or in the
it's in the state and the and our ordinance.
Okay.
And our ordinance states that a 25-foot setback from public right-of-ways is permitted, where the state has 50 feet. So that's
okay.
The case where they have a more stricter rule from the state that they have to follow.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Any other comment on this?
Nope. So is it smart to eliminate B, or irrelevant, or we leave it alone?
In my opinion, it's smart to eliminate it because it basically puts something out there that's really unrealistic. And given our discussion last time about the concern about it, when in all actuality, you know, this is not really a consideration that they can really seriously think of. They're going to have them other parameters that they got to follow that are going to make this pot, you know, not a possibility.
Right.
And you feel confident that our other parameters, as written, along yeah. with the state guidelines.
Yeah, I was reviewing those earlier today, and you know, I think they're consistent, and they, you know, they're going to create the development that we would like to see.
Okay.
Have you had any further discussion with Mr. Westfall on this? Because I think he does some consulting for this type of thing.
Well, given they still have an active application, I didn't think it appropriate to talk to them about changing our ordinance at this time.
Okay. Understood.
All right. Thank you, Scott. All right. Let's move on to new business.
Mr. Chair, do we need a motion to make a recommendation to City Commission, or is this just going to be...
Scott has to present it to us in the next meeting, and then we make a recommendation.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep. Move on to the conditional zoning training.
Patrick, do we have that PowerPoint available?
I do, yep. Give me just one second here.
A few years ago, when we were considering conditional rezoning, there was a lot of talk about the process, and the RRC, through the MEDC, agreed to give us some technical assistance and provided a trainer, and they did this training for the city. I believe a number of planning commissioners at the time attended it, and city commission and public. It was a good informational course, and given that we have a number of new members on the Planning Commission and the discussion we had about this last month, I thought it be appropriate to bring it back, to give a little refresher, and maybe expose some of these members that haven't seen this before. So around 2004-2005, the legislature adopted a enabling legislation for cities to do a conditional rezoning. It may have been called a contract zoning in the past. Basically, prior to this, you could not offer to do something in return for a rezoning. That was called a contract zoning, and that was illegal in the state. They recognized that there could be some benefit to allowing conditions rezonings where an applicant could offer certain concessions in order to perhaps ease some concerns of a community about a rezoning application. So that's what the act is passed, and was passed, and there is just a little over 200 words the entire act. So it's not a very long or complex act, and that's kind of its beauty, but also its downfall, because there's not a lot of guidance in some areas. So, Patrick, can you go to the next slide, please? Okay, a conditional rezoning request, that's where someone comes in with an application. They want to change one district to another. And in that application, they may say this is what our intention is, but a planning commission has to look at every possible allowed use or special use that may be in that particular district and look at that in that context. Because if it is approved, then all those different uses and all those different type things could potentially go in that zoning, and that often is an area of concern, because a lot of districts have lots and lots of uses, and some may be more appropriate than others, and so commissions are sometimes hesitant to say yes when there's a possibility of something that's not as desirable may be developed on that land. So next slide, please. So like I said, you know, they can submit concept plans, and you know, I spoke about this at the last one. You know, these are representations, but they're not approved as part of the normal rezoning. So, you know, people can bring in lots of plans, but you still have to think, well, there's something else could happen there. So, next slide, please. So the conditional zoning, it basically offers flexibility. And it's something that, you know, can be tailored to a particular use or a particular site. So that is kind of attractive when someone can show specifically what they plan to do, and it's a binding document that ultimately that's what they are going to do. So they can identify, you know, a specific use, specific layout, specific, you know, other amenities to the site, and those kinds of things. So that does make it attractive in that sense. Next slide, please. And this is probably the most important aspect of a conditional rezoning request. It has to be voluntary, and it has to be offered by the applicant. The city cannot demand, request, coerce, or in any way ask for a conditional rezoning. So they need to submit a plan with what exactly they're going to do, and then the city has an option to consider it or not. There's no reason they have to accept it, or there's no reason they have to approve it or deny it. It's totally discretionary on the applicant's part and the city's part. Next slide, please. The only thing that the city can do in regards to a conditional rezoning is just establish a time period. So you have X number of years to complete and satisfy all the conditions that you are offering. So that is the one area where a city has some ability to impact what is being offered. Next, please. And again, like I said, the city can't ask for a conditional rezoning, and it cannot add or change any of the offered conditions. So if they offer to do X, you can't come back and say, well, you need to do X and Y. That's not allowed. Basically, these are the conditions that they're offering, and it's kind of a take it or leave it scenario. If you're okay with them, you can approve it. If you're not, you can deny it. And there's no requirement to do one or the other. So, next slide, please. And the applicant, and with the mutual agreement of the city, an extension can be given for a conditional rezoning. And that's basically between the city commission and the applicant. They can submit a request that they would like it, and the city can extend it if they want, or they can say no if they want. There's no requirement to have approved one or the other. So it's completely their discretion. Next slide, please. Again, the city can't require the applicant offer conditions as a requirement for rezoning. I kind of said that a couple times already, but it's very important. So we can't say, you know, if you did this, we would consider a rezoning. That's not appropriate, and it can't be done. So, next slide, please. So with that, as all conditions must be offered by the applicant, they have to kind of do some mind reading, basically, to understand what conditions would make the city or municipality comfortable with the rezoning request. So it's kind of a some guesswork on their part of what they're going to do. And it may take significant investment to come up with these conditions or develop a plan, and they're not really sure that it's going to be accepted. So there's a risk there sometimes. So they have to do a balance between developing enough, but not spending so much money where on a plan that's not going to fly. So, it's a little art and science that they have to do to accomplish a good application. Next slide, please. Again, I kind of touched on this. So the applicant needs to basically address everything that they think is a concern and address, identify conditions and modify their application in a way that they think would be acceptable and it would help really knowing exactly if it's going to be or not. Next slide, please. So it's recommended the applicant meet with the neighbors and abutting property owners. And this is done with pretty much any application, any site plan review, rezoning application, special use. It's always our standard recommendation to meet with adjacent people and talk to them. And, they may not agree with what you're applying for, but at least you get the correct information out to the folks prior to coming to a meeting and hearing, what objections they have or issues they have. And a lot of times, with some correct information, a lot of these things can be, satisfied prior to a meeting. So, again, just not conditional rezoning. This is something that I always suggest with everybody that comes in with any kind of significant plan of any type. Next slide, please. And a lot of times applicants will, meet with staff, and a lot of times we can identify specific issues before an application is made. So, we try to guide them with what we think, are important things that need to be addressed. And they can hopefully develop some solutions, and conditions that would help mitigate or address any concerns. Next, please. And again, that is always done basically with everybody, staff, regardless of the conditional rezoning or a site plan review or any other kind of plan. We always speak with these folks and tell them what the are the important issues that they need to look at. So given the applicant provides this sufficient information, they're going to have to make that choice. And if they submit nothing, obviously I don't think it's going to be a successful applicant, but they do need to submit enough to sell, solve those questions, but they don't want to break the bank doing it. So, and any conditions that they offer, they need to have, there's a couple terms, they're called a rational nexus and rough proportionality. Now, a rational nexus is what they are offering has some connection to what they're trying to mitigate. So you may say fire protection is an issue. So they may offer to put a fire hydrant along a proposed project or extend the water line to do that. That would be a rational nexus. And there also has to be a rough proportionality. So by extending, the fire hydrants, that's kind of proportional to the impact that they're having. But if they say, well, we're going to build you a new fire hall, that's not roughly proportional. So they may be trying to buy a rezoning by buying you, new amenities. So there has to be some kind of connection to what it is and basically what the level of they're trying to mitigate. So those are important distinctions that, we can't say, well, the condition we're going to offer is that we're going to, build you this new facility. And that's obviously not proportional to what they're going to do. So, next slide, please. So, again, the applicant has to provide enough information and on the application and site plan to hope that there is approved. So it's not an easy thing, and I think conditional rezonings have a place and are a tool, but I think they need to be used wisely and sparingly. So with that, that's my summation of the training, and hopefully that's helpful. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
My only question would be, you say that the applicant can work with the city staff and consultants to identify issues, possible solutions prior to submission of request. So my guess is discussion with any commission members would violate the Open Meetings Act. Is that correct?
Well, if they met with a quorum, but
okay,
there's also ex parte communication, which is basically a developer talking directly to one commissioner. And that's frowned upon and spoken in our bylaws is not appropriate. So I would never recommend any commissioner on their own talking with a developer. All discussions basically should come from the commission as a group, as a body, because that's how they function. And then everybody can hear all the conversations and be part of those. It may happen from time to time where a developer reaches out to somebody and maybe asks a question, and it does happen. But if that does happen, I always recommend that commissioner share those with everyone else so everyone else has the same information.
All right, thank you.
I remember a bit of that from last year's training session, too.
Yep. The one in Petoskey where we were talking about, a lot of it was risk.
Right.
Okay.
And a follow-up on that, it's not good practice for commissioners to talk to each other. Awesome. Not only not talk to a developer, but don't talk to a fellow commissioner concerning official business.
Okay. Is there any other questions about this? Scott, this is part of our packet, so it was part of what was emailed to us. We all have access to go through this at any other time, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And if the question comes to you at some other time, feel free to contact me anytime.
Okay. Any other questions about this? Okay. Thank you, Scott. Let's move on to staff report.
A couple of things. The rezoning recommendation was submitted to the City Commission at their last meeting, and the commission set a second reading. I believe that date was October 13th, that's the night meeting, so consider that then. And also, the International Property Maintenance Code was scheduled for a second reading as well. And I believe that is in September, second meeting in September. So those two things are moving forward. Oh, one other thing. We got our permit for the railroad crossing in Boyne Falls from MDOT. So hopefully that work will be scheduled quickly and the trail officially completed. And I haven't seen any workers out there yet, but hopefully in the next couple of weeks that will be done.
I have a question for you on the bike trail. Who's responsible, I'm sure it might be a couple people, for like the tree removal along the path?
Depends where it is. If it's in the city, the city's responsible. If it's in the township's responsible.
Okay, well, I just took a ride up by the ponds over by the wastewater treatment plant, and I know they cleared some trees from the storms from 3 weeks ago, but there's still some heavy leaners over there that it's just going to take one more storm, and then that new blacktop's already busted up. So I'm concerned about some bigger trees that are over there, and I think we need to keep a better eye on it.
Okay. Just right around the ponds, you say?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, I'll go look there tomorrow and take a look at it.
Okay. There's one in particular. It's like a big 12-inch cherry tree that it's just going to take another strong wind that could blow it over because it's leaning on another tree.
Okay.
It's been a week they've been up there, but I'm just stating there.
Right, thanks.
Yep.
Mr. Chair, just a comment referring to the maintenance code. I've just heard around town some scuttlebutt that's people are not fair of that, and I think we as Planning Commission and the City Commission think it's a very good tool to maintain properties up to a certain standard. And, you know, you might hear discussion about that around town. So I know I have.
What is the major concern?
That we can go into any house, anytime, anywhere, and confiscate properties that are not up to code, which is the intent. It gets out of hand.
Well, I've heard that too, and it sounds like folks think that it may infringe on their property rights.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Just seems a little pushback for those. So.
And that's not our intent. Our intent is to have a tool, as Petoskey does, East Jordan does, and many other communities.
Right.
That we can take care of problems before they become problems.
Yep. I got a neighbor that we can already work on that one.
I think we all know somebody of other homes in the city that can be worked on.
Hey, Scott, talking about that a little bit, is there anything that you can do about landlords and bad renters?
No, we don't have a rental ordinance.
Okay.
So no, we don't.
All right.
Court of law.
Well, their dog escaped and killed another dog a couple weeks ago.
Police department.
Yeah. They've all been up here. Animal control, police department. I just didn't know if there's anything that there could extra be done.
No.
All right.
So have we kind of segued into the good of the order section now?
Yeah, let's move on to, unless anyone else has any questions about the things that Scott brought up for staff report.
I just had a comment or question in regards to the International Property Code with the scuttle around town with concerns on infringing on property rights and whatnot. Is there any way that maybe we could do some due diligence on educating what it would actually do and go above and beyond trying to get public input for that second reading or involvement of some sort? I mean, put out fires before they go. I mean,
yeah, but I also think that if we're able to attend the meeting, that will help as well. Just to have that voice and be a part of the Planning Commission, I think would help as well.
When is that second reading again?
October?
September.
September.
September 22nd. I'm sorry.
September 25th.
Okay.
at Scott at that reading.
Well, that's a Friday, Pat.
Yeah, it was actually October 13th.
Oh, okay.
They moved it to October, so it would be an evening meeting.
That's a different topic. That's maintenance code.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
My mistake, it would be September 22nd.
So that's probably a noon meeting?
Yeah, I'll confirm that date and make sure everybody knows.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
All right, let's move on to go to the order.
So I guess just to add in there, it took the entirety of this meeting, but I finally understood the context with which I had said that comment. I just wanted to put it out there and apologize. I did say that. Reading it on paper, I couldn't remember from the lengthy meeting what the discussion was there. That wasn't a type of loan. That was one of the lenders that allowed for manufacturing lending. So I'm so sorry. That took me, it just hit me, three quarters of the meeting.
Sure.
Sorry. It makes sense now. I'm sorry.
Thanks, Rose.
My day's better now, Rose. Thank you.
All right. Anything else, guys?
Nicole, I would agree with you that putting out fires before they become an issue on September 22nd is a great idea. I will follow through with that.
That's awesome.
I think it's more of what I was mentioning is that it's hard to meet with people and talk with people kind of with what's going on. I was just thinking the most impactful thing would be, yes, talk to the people that you see that are concerned that you have that point to, but at the meeting itself, that would probably be the most benefit.
It may help to have the City Commission provide some talking points that we could also review and be, somewhat on the same page.
Yep.
Okay. All right, unless anyone has anything else, let's move to adjourn. Anyone have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second?
Second, Pat.
Motion and a second. Roll call, Pat.
Shoot.
Yes.
McNaughton.
Yes.
Moblo.
Yes.
Needhammer.
Yes.
Newton.
Yes.
Place.
Yes.
We're adjourned.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you at the next meeting, September 21st.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.